Well, I'm glad to be back. It's great to see all of you. I know some of you think that you missed me, but I missed you more. The Lord has been faithful. There were times that I was tempted to ask God why he was allowing everything that was happening to happen to me. But I was reminded that he is consistent with his promises, he is consistent with his character, and regardless of what happens around us or with us, we can still trust him. He is always faithful. And so I was looking forward for this day so I can worship and fellowship with you. And I want to appreciate you for your prayers and the encouraging words that some of you sent emails and texts and cards to at least strengthen my wife so that she can wait a little bit longer. It was good knowing that as a church family, you are standing with us. My mom is doing well. Our parents are doing better now. And I'm glad that I'm also doing well. I still feel a little bit tired, but I'm doing well in the Lord. And it is my prayer that each one of you is doing well as well. Before we release our children to go to their children's church, I'd like you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. We are continuing with our theme that God's revelation is our invitation. Simply means that every time the Lord allows us to see something that he is doing, he is inviting us to participate. That God doesn't just show you what he is doing so that you can be excited about it or so that you can feel special about it. He does it to invite you to be part of what he is doing. I wish as Christians we understood that. Because I believe there are many moments that God has opened our eyes to what he is doing, and we did nothing about it. We didn't see it as an invitation for us to join God in what he is doing. It is my prayer that here at Southside, as we continue to learn and grow in our spiritual life, that will become part of us. That every time God shows us something, we will know that God is inviting us to be involved. This is what he did to Moses. It is what he does to his people. Exodus chapter 33, we're going to read from verse 12 to verse 23. I'm reading from NIV. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. This is the word of the Lord. And I want to believe that we continue to believe here at Southside that since the Bible is God's word and we are God's children. Say it with me. The Bible is God's word for us. Father, we come before you. We acknowledge your presence in this place. We know, Lord, that we need you more than we need anything in our lives. So that, Lord, without you we are nothing and with you we are everything. We pray that your presence may go with us. We pray that you may teach us what you want us to learn, and that your word may accomplish what you intend to accomplish this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad it's not my phone. You know, you can be forgiven if you're not the pastor, so. Children. Yeah, if it were my phone, the story would have been different. How can he? Moses and the Israelites are in despair. We saw last time we are here that they realized that without God, they were nothing. The Lord had threatened not to make the trip to the promised land. Instead, he was going to give them an angel to go with them. And they put off their bracelets and rings, all the ornaments that they were wearing to show their humility before the Lord. They cried out to God that he may go with them. And God punished them for their sin. But now Moses, the servant of God here, is also in despair. He is afraid of the future and he is worried. But Moses does something that you and I need to do all the time we face a difficulty. He takes his worries, his fears, and his doubts to the Lord. He is asking God to give him confidence to face the future. He wants some assurance. Moses tells God that if you're not going to make the trip with us, we are not going. He's saying that we cannot go without you. This is something that you and I need to embrace. We need to realize that in this journey of faith, we cannot make it without the Lord. In fact, as a church, it should be our prayer that God may continue to lead us and that we may follow him. As a Christian, it should be your desire to allow God to take the lead in your life. Every time we do it on our own, we fail. We know that because we've done it. And so there is something about Moses that is very like you and me. We all go through difficult experiences that move us from faith to fear, from hope to despair. And Moses understands this. He knows that without God he is nothing. He says that what is it that will distinguish us from the rest of the people? If you don't make the trip with us, God, how are people going to tell the difference? Moses understands that the only thing that makes a Christian different is the special relationship that you have with the Lord. That's what makes you different. That's what makes you see life differently, the special relationship you have with the Lord. I was having a conversation with Judy this morning, and I asked her, how are you doing? And she said, I can't complain. And I said, you can't or you won't? And she said, it's a little bit of both. And then she said, yeah, I think I won't complain because we have a choice. And as a Christian, you choose not to complain because of the relationship that you have with the Lord, not because you have no reasons to complain. As an American, you have so many reasons to complain. But because you are also a Christian, you choose not to. Instead, you choose to be grateful because of the special relationship that you have with the Lord. And that makes you different. That makes you special. And Moses understands this and is telling the Lord, without you, we are not special. Without you, we cannot be distinguished from other people. We need you among us for us to be different. If you're not going, we are not going. Moses does not allow his despair to lead him or to control how he responds. Instead, he turns to God for solutions. His despair makes him desperate for God's presence. I don't know if you have been in a situation where you had every reason to blame God and to turn away from God, but because of the relationship that you have with him and because of the experience that you've had with him, you find yourself running to him even more. You have every reason to turn away and to say, I want nothing to do with this kind of a God. But when you look at your own experience with him and the knowledge that you have and the scriptures that you've read, you find yourself, even though you attempted to run away, you just find yourself running to the Lord. It's because of the special relationship that you have with him. I say this in my daughter, Regency. Regency is so hard on herself when she makes a mistake. And when you discipline her, it's even worse. And there are moments that she will be crying, but the more she cries, the more she embraces me. Like sometimes she makes me feel guilty. But I think it's because she understands that there is nowhere else I can go and find the kind of father that you are. That's what I believe. And I can still feel that love. And when she holds on to me, even though she is crying for something that she's done, I cannot afford not to put my arms around her, not to respond to that love. And this is what is happening to Moses here when he runs to the Lord. Because God responds, he says, in Moses' prayer, he tells the Lord, teach me your ways so that I may find favor in you. And God tells him, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. God is looking at Moses and he can see his worries and his fears and his doubts. And he's telling him, I will go with you and I will give you rest. You will find peace. I'm going to deliver you from your worries and your fears. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. My presence will go with you. If you have faced a situation that brought deep darkness into your life, then you know what I'm talking about. If you have had a season of fear and discouragement, or you've experienced a difficulty that made you question God's faithfulness, this message is for you. If you have prayed and cried and are still unsure of what to expect, then you are the right person for this message. Because I have realized that when we are facing difficulties in life, there are thoughts that the enemy brings to our minds. We begin to hear different messages. We hear a message that tells us that my situation is different, is unique. My problem is special. When you are in a fellowship like this, a worship service, you look around and you look at people just the way they are seated and you can tell they seem to be doing well, and you tell yourself they have everything figured out. You look around and you see people the way they are dressed and the way they are talking, and you tell yourself, I wish I was like so and so. Why doesn't God make my marriage and my family like so-and-so's family? You see, those are the lies that the enemy is bringing to your mind to make you feel that you are the worst person around. Now, sometimes pride will do the opposite. It'll make you feel that you are the best person around. Difficulties can also make us think that God is not present with us or he doesn't care. When we are in despair, we are tempted to think that God is not as loving as he says he is. Those are thoughts that the enemies will bring to our minds. Difficulties may make it hard for us to understand what God is doing in our lives. But when you read this portion of Moses, who is going through the same thing, he doesn't understand why God is choosing not to go with him. You hear God assuring him, I will be with you. And then he says in verse 17, for I know you by name. And Moses was praying, say, God, you've said that you know me by name, that I have found favor in your place, and yet you don't want to go with us. And God is repeating the same word. He says, yeah, I know you by name. He is communicating the special relationship that he has with Moses. He's not just telling Moses that I know your name. He's telling Moses that I know you. I know your deepest needs. And I promise to be with you. It's very encouraging just to know that God knows us. He knows our deepest needs, and he promises to be with us to the end. Look at Isaiah 49, verse 15. In Isaiah 49, verse 15, God says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. In Psalm 37, verse 25, Psalm 37, verse 25, David says, I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. I have never seen. And then in Romans 8:35, Paul, after talking about all the goodness of the Lord, he asks a good question in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Listen, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? God has promised that he will always be with us. And as a Christian, you can be assured of that because his Holy Spirit dwells in you. Everywhere you go, you carry with you the presence of God because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Everywhere you go, the special relationship you have with the Lord makes you special because you are a walking temple. And when you understand that, you will be able to deal with those negative voices that come to your mind, trying to make you think differently of yourself and of others. Trying to make you think differently of your experience and the experience of others. When you realize that as a Christian you carry with you the presence of God everywhere you are. Moses, after hearing all this assurance that the Lord will be with him and that he knows him by name, that he understands what he's going through, he is not satisfied. You know, sometimes when we are going through difficulties, all the knowledge that we have of God and all the experiences that we have had and everything that we know and the memory verses that we have memorized, at that particular moment, they become inadequate. They just don't feel like they are enough for us to hold on to. One of the things that I don't like when I'm going through a hard time is for someone to tell me that all things works for good. You know, it's not, I know that. But when I'm going through it, it doesn't seem that way. It doesn't feel that way. When my body is paining, it's hard for me to understand that scripture. So don't come to me with that scripture. I have read it several times. When we are going through a hard time, our experiences and all our knowledge doesn't seem to make sense. Sometimes God doesn't seem to make sense. And Moses is in a position like that. He has experienced God in many ways, but here, even after God assuring him, what does he say? In verse 18, he says, show me your glory. God has already said, I will be with you. I know you by name. Moses is not satisfied with that. Moses says, show me your glory. I want more. What I know, what I have seen, what I have experienced is not enough. Show me your glory. Moses had seen God's glory when he appeared in a burning bush. He saw that. It got his attention. He also saw God's glory in chapter 24. Of Exodus. He saw God's glory when he was on Mount Sinai talking with God and he was covered by a cloud. He had had these experiences of God's glory, and yet here he tells God, show me your glory. And God understands what he's asking for, because he is asking to see God in his fullness. That is what he's asking for. Have you been tempted to ask God to show you something? Just a sign. show me something that will make me, will increase my faith. Just a sign, maybe a sign in the sky with my initials on it. You know, just something. We are always tempted to think that if we saw something, we would believe God more. Now, it's okay to want to know more and to want to experience more, because there is more to experience. The Bible says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. There is so much that God has in store for us, and it's okay to desire more, to want to know God more, to want to experience Him more. But when you are facing difficulties, even what you have experienced and seen and known and read is not enough. And as a Christian, what happens? You desire more from God. Your despair makes you, like Moses, desperate to God's presence. Let's see how God responds to this. When Moses asks to see God's glory, God responds in a very kind way. From verse 19, he says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. My goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I'm going to make sure that you understand who I am and that I am here with you. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And then he says in verse 20, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. He tells Moses, for you to see me in my fullness, you will have to die. But I am going to protect you. I'm going to cover your face so that I may pass by. And you will not see my face, but you will see my back. You will experience my full presence, but you will not see me. I will protect you. I will have compassion on you. I'll have mercy on you. And Moses does not say anything after that. The truth is, unless we are fully transformed to the image of Jesus Christ, we cannot see God in His fullness. Unless we are fully transformed in the image of Jesus Christ, we cannot see God in His fullness. But here is the good news. We may not be able to see God in His fullness, but because of the special relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ, we will recognize His presence. You did not get that. Okay, how can I say it in a better way? You may not be able to see God in His fullness. You may not be able to understand Him the way you want to understand Him. You may not be able to know Him the way you would love to know Him. But because of the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, you will always recognize God when He is present with you. You will always know that this is God. In His own way, God will make sure that you understand that he is present with you. He will make sure that you realize that he is working in your life. He will make sure that you testify that he is the Lord. You may not be able to see him in his fullness, but you will recognize his presence. Moses was not able to see God in his fullness, but God made it sure that Moses understood and recognized that he was the Lord. And there are so many ways that God allows us to do this. Sometimes just by looking back in your life, you will see his footprints in your life. You will see situations and events that you can point to and say, this, the Lord was at work here. You may not be able to see his face, but you will feel his presence. You will realize that he is with you. And the more life becomes complicated, the more we turn to God through Jesus Christ. The more difficulties we experience, the more we turn to God for hope, because we know that true hope is found in Jesus Christ. As Christians, when we are facing difficulties, our difficulties will increase our need for God. We will be tempted to turn away, but we won't, because we have a relationship. We will be tempted to give up, but we will not, because we have a special relationship with God, and we know that our hope is found in him. In our pain, in our sorrow, in our grief, we will still be able to sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. In your disappointment and your discouragement, in your despair, you will still be able to say, on Christ, my solid rock, I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. All other grounds are seeking sand. You will turn to the Lord. You may not see him in his fullness, but you will recognize his presence. I think Shelley Rose says it better. For those of you who don't know Shelley Rose is a wife to one of my friends who is a pastor at Dunstable. His name is Bobby Rose. We went to the seminary together. In fact, we were next door neighbors at the seminar. Bobby Rose is right now admitted at a hospital in Lowell. He's had a severe case of COVID-19. He's on oxygen and steroids. He's not doing well. And his wife has been posting updates on how Pastor Bobby is doing. And this is one of the updates that she posted, and I thought it will be good to read it to you. She says, I have tried and tried, but sleep will not come. Bobby's oxygen was increased to 4 liters because his sats kept dropping. I've talked to the nurse every few hours, I haven't been able to communicate with Bobby since I left the hospital. I think he's finally sleeping after 11 days of exhaustion. But it's unsettling to not hear from him since 4:30 p.m. I've cried out to the Lord in anger and fear, listened to God's soothing voice, researched fervently, read scripture, and cried some more. One of my favorite scripture passages is John 11, where Jesus weeps with Mary over the loss of her brother Lazarus. Jesus was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, so why did he weep? He wept over Mary's agony. He wept over the immense pain and suffering all humankind faces. This passage shows why Jesus is the only one who is truly able to cry with us and also rescue us. He is both God and man. Jesus is both truth and love. He's both with us and God Almighty. Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns in Bobby. Jesus reigns above any statistic, prognosis, or medical intervention. Jesus reigns in our family, in our home, in our hearts. I will cling to Christ and trust him to uphold us. He can handle my doubts and wavering faith. Pray for Bobby to maintain his oxygen sats. Pray he would stabilize today in a dramatic way. Pray I would be able to talk with the doctor to clarify his status, advocate for the best way forward, and feel confident in the plan. Pray that I would be able to talk to Bobby and hear his voice and know he's stable. Pray for God to sustain me when I'm empty and wavering. Pray for my mom to arrive safely, and for Chell and Lou, these are their children, to be filled with peace today. If you don't believe in Jesus or have questions or are curious, please consider listening to what he says in this passage. Consider Jesus. I don't have all the answers about life and faith, nor does any pastor or speaker, but Jesus is unlike anyone you will ever experience. That I can guarantee. I am desperate for Bobby to be well. I believe God can do it, and have never prayed more for anything in my life. But more than anything, I desire for our souls to be secure, for our hearts to be at peace with God, and to know that whatever happens to our bodies, we will always be secure in Christ. Christ reigns now and for eternity. It's so wonderful that God sent Jesus to be with us and to die in our place. It is in Jesus that we see the fullness of God. It is in Jesus that men and women were able to see God and still be alive. And that Jesus is with us today in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus is the one that we believe in and is the reason we are gathered here today. Jesus is all we have. And Jesus is all we need. And so, like Shelley Rose and like Moses, when we find ourselves in those difficult moments, those painful experiences, discouraged, in despair. Even though we may have all the reasons we need to run away from God, to allow the enemy to take over, you and I, like Shelley and like Moses, we will run to the Lord. We will turn to Him even more. Even when we cannot say anything, we will still turn to Him. Even when we are full of tears, we will still turn to Him and just stay there in His presence, because we know that He is with us and He knows us by our names. You know, some of you, your names are so difficult to pronounce. Some of you struggle to pronounce my name, my last name. And some of you have given up trying, and I understand that. But you know, God, He doesn't struggle. He looks at you and He can say, Madeline, I know you. I know what you're going through even before you start praying. I know every need that you have. And I want you to know that I am here with you. He looks at each one of us and He assures us of His presence. So in your loneliness, in your pain, I encourage you, turn to the Lord. And maybe you're saying, I have done that, Valerian, and it's not enough. Turn again to the Lord. You may not see His face, but you will recognize His presence. Father, I come before you this morning thanking you for your love for us, thanking you for this church, thanking you for every family that is represented here. I come before you, Lord, acknowledging your presence, knowing that you love us, that you care for us, and that you have a wonderful plan for us. Lord, many of us are facing challenges. Many of us are asking questions. There's no one who can answer our questions except you, Lord. And therefore, Lord, I, on behalf of Southside Bible Fellowship, I bring all the questions, all the doubts, all the fears, and all the issues that your people are facing to you. And I'm praying that you may reign over them, Lord. I'm praying that you may have control over them. I'm praying that you may show yourself strong on behalf of your people. And that, Father, in your own way, you may enable us to recognize your presence in the midst of our pain and our struggles and our difficulties. And through it all, you may be glorified in Jesus' name. May everyone say, Amen. Let me just ask you to do three things for me. One, please remember to pray for Bobby Rose and his family. And two, pray for Miles Phillips. Some of you don't know who Miles Phillips is. Miles Phillips has been a member of this church for a long time. He's been in a nursing home in Concord, and he had a situation where he was not able to eat. Yesterday he was rushed to ICU. I'm planning to go see him after this service. Pray for him. If you get an opportunity to visit, they allow only one visit, one person at a time. So if you are able to do that, please do. But pray for Miles Phillips. And finally, pray for SBF. Pray for this church. Pray that we will follow God's leading. Pray that we will listen to God's voice and follow his leading. Please do that. Pray for Bobby Ross. Pray for Miles Phillips. And pray that as a church, we will listen to God's voice and follow his leading. God bless you so much. Thank you.